Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa nashhadu anna muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh amma ba'd. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا إما يبلغن عندك الكبر أحدهما أو كلاهما فلا تقل لهما أف ولا تنهرهما وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elders and friends, our mothers and sisters that are listening to this program, and all the people that are listening to the program through live streaming and the various airwaves, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala who says, on one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the minbar. Upon taking the first step, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. When he took the second step, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. When he took the third step, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ameen. Sahaba inquired from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, what was that Ameen that you said? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Atani Jibra'il. Jibra'il alayhi salatu wa sallam came to me, and Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told to me, Man adraka Ramadan, falam yughfar lahu, famata fadakhala nar fa'ab'adahu Allah. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala blesses somebody with a month of Ramadan. Month of Ramadan passes by and he's not forgiven. And the person passes away and going to the fire of hell, ab'adahu Allah. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala keep him far away from his rahmat and mercy. On the second step, it was upon that I said, Ameen. On the second step, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told to me, Man adraka walidai, falam yabarrahuma, famata fadakhala nar, faab'adahu Allah. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala blessed a person with parents. He was not good to them. He did not favor them. He did not serve them. He passed away and he entered the fire of Jahannam rather than being able to serve them and going into Jannah. Upon that, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told, Ab'adahu Allah. May Allah keep that person far away from the rahmat and the mercy of Allah. And the third, Man dhukirtu indahu walam yusalli alayhi, famata fadakhala an-nar. My name has been taken in front of someone, and he does not even send durood and salawat upon me. He passes away and he enters in the fire of Jahannam. Ab'adahu Allah, that may Allah keep that person far away from the rahmat and the mercy of Allah. Most respected elders and friends, from this hadith, the second part of the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cautioned us on the importance of fulfilling the huquq and the rights of the parents and serving the parents. Our ulama have mentioned there are two persons or two type of people that we can never ever fulfill the haqq and the right. Despite serving them the entire life, we'll never be able to accomplish and fulfill the huquq and the rights. One is the Nabi of Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made so many sacrifices for us. If you only understand the extent of the sacrifices the Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made upon us, then we will understand the ihsanat, the favor of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam upon us. And it is for that reason, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. Allah Himself and the Malaika, they send durood and salawat upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. That all you who believe, you got iman in you, send durood and salam upon Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is a verse we must have heard many, many times. But the point that I want to show is, on one side, Allah tells us that we must send durood and salawat upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But the ihsanat, the favor of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is so great, we ourselves can't send durood to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We cannot do it. So when we send durood and salawat, what do we say? We say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Oh Allah, we cannot repay Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah, you repay Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on our behalf. Send durood and salawat upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We cannot do it. You be our representative and you reward Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on our behalf. Like that, the second set of people upon whom we cannot fulfill the haqq and the rights are the parents. Look at one verse of the Quran Kareem, wherein Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us, Rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Rabbirhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. The parents have done so much of ihsan, so much of favor upon us. We cannot pay them. And we understand, despite serving them the entire lifetime, we'll never be able to fulfill the haqq. So when we come to that realization, what do we do? We say, Allah, we can't pay them. Rabbi irhamhuma. Oh my Rabb, you have mercy on them. I can't pay. They have done so much favor upon me. On my behalf, oh my Allah, you send rahmat and mercy upon them, upon the parents, like how they were loving, kind, compassionate, they nurtured me when I was small. Ulama mentioned, these are the two sets of people that we cannot fulfill the haqq, and therefore we make Allah our representative to fulfill their haqq on our behalf. Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala sent approximately 124,000 malaika, so angels of prophets. Every Nabi that came, they had one common message. The laws of the Shariat and the Shariat was different. Some of them had the previous Shariat, some of them had different Shariat. That is why Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned that all the prophets of Allah, they are maternal brothers unto each other. And which means that the Shariat is the same. The basic rules of the Shariat are the same. Tawheed, oneness of Almighty Allah. But as far as Ahkam, that is changes according to time and environment. But there are certain laws that were common in all the prophets. They propagated the same thing. Apart from Tawheed, oneness of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, one common message every prophet propagated, informed the people, encouraged the people, was the huquq of the parents. The rights of the parents. Look at the Quran Kareem. How Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala tells us, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala decrees, you should not worship anyone but Allah. Immediately after that, Allah says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And be favorable to your parents. Serve your parents. Ulama mentioned, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is our direct cause of our existence. Allah created us. Had Allah not created us, we would not have been existent. But the means of our existence are our parents. It is through our parents, Allah gave us the bounty of life. Allah gave us the opportunity to see the manifestation of the power and the qudrat of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, through which we recognize Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Yes, Allah created us, but through our parents. And therefore, first Allah speaks about the haqq of the parents. He speaks about fulfilling his haqq and then fulfilling the haqq of the parents. And then see how Allah says, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرْ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. If both the parents or one of them reach old age. Generally we have to respect our parents whether they are young or old. But Allah specifically refers to when parents reach old age. When a person grows, there's a biological change that takes place in him. Allah refers to it in the Quran al-Kareem. Allah الذي خلقكم من ضعف ثم جعل من بعد ضعف قوة ثم جعل من بعد قوة ضعف وشيبة. Three cycles of life. And there's a third cycle of your life where you become weak and old age overtakes you. And then there's such a big chemical change in the body of a person. There's mood swings. In the case of a woman, she goes through menopause. And sometimes parents reaching that age, they conduct themselves in such a way that it's purely by human nature. Children don't understand that. And they just think that the parents are shouting, parents are yelling at them. And I feel that there's a great need to counsel our children on the medical aspect and the psychological aspect, the various changes of life that the parents go through, so that even children can understand the parents and react according to that. In many instances, children don't understand the different cycles of life and what parents are going through, maybe from the biological point of view, from the medical point of view, and they misunderstand the parents, and then that leads to a big confusion. So Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about specifically old age. This doesn't mean that you only respect your parents when they're old age. Parents are parents, whether they're young, they're old. But in old age, the conduct of the parents is different from when they were younger. And you need to be more tolerant to them. Then Allah speaks about four huquq, four rights of the parents. First and foremost, put a zip on your tongue. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ. Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala says, had there been any word smaller than uff, Allah would have mentioned that too. A smaller word than uff, Allah would have even prohibited that as well. And normally a person would say uff when it's uncomfortable. Which means, if your parents have to tell you something that brings some kind of discomfort to you, probably what they're saying is wrong. But even in that situation, keep quiet and do not even say them uff. Nowadays the situation is such, probably they will not even say uff. But when parents will say to their children something, you'll see the attitude of some of them, they'll take a deep breath and sigh, oh, expressing disgust, disgust with the deep breath. Just as saying uff is haram, taking a deep breath, expressing disgust to your parents, and what they're telling you to do, that is also haram. Second, وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Don't even scold them. When you cannot say your parents, oof, where can you scold them? Unfortunately, the situation today is that parents have become victims of the scolding of the children. And this is a great sign of the Day of Qiyamah. The third is, وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. That sometimes they would say you something that you are not comfortable with. How you should respond? You should respond by saying them honorable words. Nicely, kindly, diplomatically, deal with the situation in a most beautiful way. And then the last haq Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala speaks about, that if any one of them, وَقْفِدْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الظُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah speaks about a wing, like how you get a bird that shows love and care to its fledgling. It spreads out its wing. Just like that, spread your wings of love and compassion upon your parents. And then, on top of that, say to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. That, oh my Rabb, have mercy upon them, like how they had mercy upon me when I was small. Now sometimes, if you look at this verse, especially for those that understand Arabic, Allah does not say, رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا مِثْلَ رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Allah says, رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. There's a difference in the Arabic word of مِثْلَ and ka.
Misl means exactly in the same way. Allah didn't say that. Allah says that He teaches us to make a dua, have mercy upon my parents, like. Now in English we wouldn't differentiate between the word exact and like. In Arabic, there's a difference between them too. We can never repay our parents, and we cannot fulfill the haqq exactly as they have done for us. Despite all the sacrifices a person will make, it can never be equivalent to what the parents have done when we were small. Both of them are different. Look at it when a child is small. As a baby, he can't even talk. There's discomfort. The mother has to grapple with the situation and somehow take charge of the situation and bring comfort. But when parents are old age, then they need your help and assistance, but at least they've got a mouth to talk. If they will tell you to help and assist, or if they won't tell you, they'll tell somebody else. But a small baby, how can a baby talk? Doesn't talk. But a mother, they will have to still serve the baby and look after the baby. So there's a big difference between serving somebody when he's a minor and serving somebody in old age. Even if we serve our parents in old age, it will never be equivalent to how they served us when we were small. One person, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, was in Makkatul Mukarramah. It was during Hajj. He saw a person from Yemen. He came to Abdullah ibn Umar and he told to Abdullah ibn Umar that I love my mother, I serve her, and all the way from Yemen I've come to perform Hajj. It was a desire of my mother to perform Hajj. So from Yemen I carried her on my back and I brought her here to Baytullah Sharif. We went to Arafat, I carried her on my back. From Arafat to Muzdalifah, I carried on my back. Tawaf-e-Ziyarat, I carried on my back and I made tawaf for her, with her. Oh, Abdullah ibn Umar, tell me, did I really fulfill the haqq of my mother? Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu laughed and he said, you think you did so much for your mother? At the time when she gave birth to you, the pain that she had experienced at the time of that birth, you did not even fulfill that haqq of your mother. Leave aside what else she has done for you. This is the huquq, the rights of our parents. To such an extent, that even if parents are non-Muslims, they've got a different belief from you. A believer is sensitive to his iman. He loves his iman. He resents kufr. And especially if it is your mother or if it is your father that's in kufr and shirk, how much more will you not resent that? You just hate kufr and shirk. And the same kufr and shirk is associated with them. They propagate that. They are in that belief. But if your mother and your father are non-Muslims, then to Allah says, وَإِنْجَاهَدَاكَ عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ بِي مَا لِيسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. If they put pressure upon you, that you must also commit kufr and shirk, then Allah shows two things. You don't compromise in tawheed, you don't compromise in conduct. In tawheed you don't compromise, فَلَا تُطِعُهُمَا. You don't obey them. When it comes to iman and yaqeen and tawheed, then we only do what Allah wants us to do. We don't compromise in that, and we don't listen to our parents. But when it comes to conduct, being kind as human beings, being loving, being compassionate to them, Allah says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا. And stay with them in a most principled way. Now, here, they are the enemies of Allah, committing kufr and shirk, but Allah understands the relationship between the father, the parent and the children. And Allah says, despite them committing kufr and shirk with me, you be good to them. How important it is for us to understand that what is the haqq and the rights of the parents. Let us share some ahadiths on that. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported to have mentioned, Al-Jannah tahta aqdamil ummahat. In the month of Ramadan, all the time we are making dua to Allah, Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-Jannah. Allah, we want Jannah, we want Jannah. But one simple prescription for Jannah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, Jannah lies below the feet of your mothers. Serve your mothers. Win their hearts over. and come to a point where your mother will make dua for you to go into Jannah. Al-Jannatu tahta aqdamil ummahat. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to a mention, Riza al-Rab fi Riza al-Walid. Wa sakhatu al-Rab fi sakhati al-Walid. We want the ridwan of Allah. We want the pleasure of Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, get the pleasure of your father. Make him happy. He is happy, Allah is happy. And if your father is unhappy, your father is displeased, then Allah is displeased. On one side we make ibadat, we make zikr, we make tilawat, but on the other side, our parents are unhappy with us. We need to correct that angle as well. Whilst we are doing our ibadat, at the same time, we need to correct ourselves and fulfill the hukuk and the right of our parents. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Dakhaltul Jannah. I went into Jannah. Probably this was in the dream of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or during Mi'raj. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, I went into Jannah. Faraitu Haritha ibn Nu'man. Yaqra'u fiha. I saw Haritha ibn Nu'man in Jannah making tilawat of the Quran Kareem. So, such a beautiful recitation. So I asked, that who's this making tilawat? So Haritha ibn Nu'man. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Kazalikumul bir, kazalikumul bir. This is how you do acts of virtue. This is how you do acts of virtue. Wakana abarra bi ummihi. He was very kind. He was very serving to his mother. And because of that, Allah gave him a lofty position in Jannah. Making such tilawat of the Quran Kareem that even Nabi Sallallahu enjoyed the tilawat of the person in Jannah. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam reported to have mentioned, Ma min waladin barin yanzuru walidayhi nazar rahma illa kutiba lahu hajjan mabrur. Any obedient child, we're not talking about disobedience, we're not talking about oof, we're not talking about children complaining about parents yelling at them. We are talking about being obedient. That means you exercise restraint, you control yourself, you make your parents happy, that if they are such an obedient child, whenever he looks at the parents with rahmah, with love, kindness, it's my mother, it's my father, you look at them with love and kindness. Every time you throw a glance of love and kindness to your mother and your father, Allah grant you hajj mabrur. Accepted hajj, one is to perform hajj. And one is to perform hajj with the fulfilling all the hukuk and the rights of hajj. That is called hajj mabrur. Just one glance of love and care to your parents, that will earn you hajj mabrur. Sahaba said, O Prophet of Allah, wain nadhara kulla yawm mi'ata marra? What about if the person have to throw a glance of his parents 100 times a day? Nabi Kareem also mentioned, وَإِن نَذَرَكَ أَلَّهُ أَكْبَرُ وَأَطْيَبُ. Allah is even more greater than that and more purer than that. Not 100 times, even 1,000 times. Imagine how much of effort a person will make to perform his hajj. What great effort and sacrifice the person will do. And when a person comes back from hajj, he feels clean. We can make ourselves clean every day thousands of times by showing love and care to our parents. And we need to be very careful. In one hadith, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Kullu dhunub yughfar illa uququl walidain. Allah will forgive all your sins. You make tawbah, make istighfar. But if you are disobedient to your mother, you are disobedient to your father, then uququl walidain, being ungrateful, being disrespectful to them, hurting the feelings, then the punishment of that guna, yu'ajjal sahibuha fi dunya, or kama qal, that the person will get the punishment in this dunya. And there's so many examples of that, where a person has been hurting the parents, disobedient to the parents. Unfortunately, we reach a stage now where we talk about opening up old age homes, etc. While there may be a need for that, but this was not something that was never existent in the past. It is something where we need to make that go the extra mile to serve our mothers, to serve our fathers, to serve our parents. I have one friend in Germany by the name of Ibrahim. So I happened to go to Brussels. So from Germany, he came to meet me in Brussels. They revert to Islam, accepted Islam, and then I asked him about his mother, his father. So he said, mother also accepted Islam. So I asked him, how did you accept Islam? He gave me his history. How did your mother accept Islam? He said, my mother accepted Islam after I accepted Islam. My mother was a staunch non-Muslim. Very hard. I accepted Islam. When I was a non-Muslim, then I didn't know the haq and the right of the mother and the father. After having accepted Islam, and I knew what is the position that Allah and the Rasul has given to a mother, I understood that, and I started serving my mother more. I started preparing breakfast for her. I started coming, holding her, embracing her, kissing her, showing her love and care. So my mother was surprised with my attitude. That, what is this you are doing? You never did this before. What had happened to you? She said, I told my mother, the religion that you don't like, this the religion teaches me that I must fulfill your haq and your right, and I must be loving and care. My paradise lies under your feet. My mother heard only that. She said, La ilaha illallah. Look at the practice of our akabirin. Great, great ulama, mashayikh, muhaddithin. What was their practice? How did they treat their parents? What did they do? Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, the incident is famous, comes in the books of hadith. He was from Yemen. His father passed away when he was young. So his mother took care of him. And he was very, very attached to his mother. Day in, day out, he was with his mother. When Abu Tufail radiallahu ta'ala came to Yemen inviting the people to Islam, then on the second effort, Abu Huraira accepted Islam. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu then decided to go to Madinatul Munawwara, stay in the company of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He accepted Islam, his mother did not accept Islam. But because of that close bond between him and his mother, then he decided to take his mother with him to Madinatul Munawwara. He comes to Madinatul Munawwara. He stays with his mother in Madinatul Munawwara. He comes from Majlis of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. On one occasion in Masjid al-Nabawi, Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam was distributing khajur, dates, to the sahaba. He gave, especially from the ashabi sufa, the poor sahaba, he gave them two khajur. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he ate one khajur, and the other khajur, he took it and he tied it at the corner of his sheet. Yeah, like this. So Nabi Akram asked him, what are you doing? So Prophet of Allah, I ate one, the other one for my mother. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Abu Huraira, eat it. I'll give another two for your mother. He one day comes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he tells to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, crying, my mother is using vulgar words against you. Evil words against you. She was a non-Muslim. And I can't tolerate it. For the amount of love and muhabbat I have for you, I love my mother too, but I can't tolerate that she's using vulgar words against you. Oh Allah, oh Rasulullah, oh Prophet of Allah, make dua for the iman of my mother. Nabi Karim Sallallahu immediately lifted up his hand. Allahumma hdi umma Abi Huraira. Oh Allah, give hidayah to the mother of Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira said that I knew that the dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would get accepted, but I didn't expect it as fast as it happened. As soon as I went home, Abu Huraira says, as soon as I went home, then my mother from inside told me, son, hold on, don't come in the house. If I'm outside, I could hear the dripping of water. Probably she was taking a bath. And then when she opened the door, suddenly when I looked at her, she says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. This hadith is normally quoted under the mu'jizats of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the attitude after that? Whenever Abu Huraira used to come to the house, every day, come to the house, he should greet his mother like this. Assalamu alaikum ya ummah wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Salam, O my mother, may Allah's rahmat and mercy upon you. Abu Huraira's mother would reply like this. Wa alaykum assalam ya waladi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Salam, O my son, may Allah's rahmat and mercy be upon you. Abu Huraira then would tell to his mother, would make dua for his mother, that May Allah have rahmat upon you, kama irhamtani saghira. That may Allah have mercy upon you like how you had mercy upon me. Abu Hurairah's mother would reply that may Allah have mercy upon you like how you were good to me in old age. So this is the attitude, that how you receive, you give back. You don't only be on the receiving side, you also give back to your parents. Abu Ishaq al-Shirazi, such a great muhaddis, renowned muhaddis. Somebody came to him and told to him, I saw in my dream last night, there's pearls on your beard. There's pearls on your beard. So he told Sadaqta, the dream that you saw is true. مَسَحْتُ اللُّحَى رِجْلَيْ أُمِّي رِجْلَيْ أُمِّي الْبَارِحَى. Says that with my beard, I wiped the feet of my mother last night. Probably while serving the mother in some way or the other, the beard must have touched the feet of the mother. So he says, because I've done that, the dream that you see is true. And that Allah Ta'ala put pearls onto my beard. We serve our parents, Allah gives us everything. Muhammad ibn Munkadir, also a great renowned muhaddis. He had a brother who was a very great abid. A lot of ibadah he used to do. So one night, Muhammad ibn Munkadir, a muhaddis, he spent the night serving his mother, pressing his mother's feet. And then he made a comment. He says that, I don't envy the ibadah that my brother did over what I did at night. I served my mother and I pressed her feet. In my opinion, that is better than a person engaging in ibadah. Why? Because serving the mother itself is such a great ibadah. Another great muhaddis by the name of Zainul Abidin, the grandson of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Look at his adab. He says, and probably some of the things we say is beyond our comprehension. We'll think, why do they do like this? He says, I would never eat with my mother. I probably will feed her, but I won't eat with my mother. So they asked him why. I would never eat food with my mother. The reason is that if I would pick up a morsel, and assuming my mother's nazar fell on that morsel, then my mother would, she probably would want that morsel, but I took it. Instead of she taking it, so that would cause in some kind of taklif and inconvenience to her. So imagine, look at their thinking, to what extent they used to think. Another muhaddis by the name of Hawshab, or Haywa ibn Hawshab. He used to give dars. Far and wide muhaddisin used to come from far and wide to join the dars of this great muhaddis. So they had some fowls and some chickens in their backyard. So sometime at a random, while conducting his dars of hadith, the mother used to come and tell, Haywa, stand up. Go give the food to the chickens. Now, on one side you're conducting a dars of hadith, hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the other side, the mother's order. Wake up, go give the food to the chicken. Immediately you leave his dars, teaching his hadith. Now probably if it was you and I, the mother can't understand. What's happening? They didn't think like that. They understood the importance of the order of the mother and making the mother happy and pleased. On the term they executed it. So he wakes up, he go feed the chicken, then he come back, he conducts his dars. Another muhaddis by the name of Kahmas. Somebody saw him. There was a scorpion going behind the scorpion. There was a scorpion came in the house and it went away and it went into a hole. So he went, followed the scorpion. The scorpion went inside the hole. From inside, he's trying to take the scorpion out. So somebody told him, what are you doing? Nobody does something like that. The scorpion will bite you. It will sting you. He said, rather me than that scorpion coming out again and causing danger to my mother. Like how they would think, to what extent they would go. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he once asked Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah, who will be my companion in Jannah? So Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala said wahi revelation to Musa alayhi salam, your companion in Jannah, it will be a butcher man. You imagine a Nabi of Allah. And how can a non-Nabi be equal to a Nabi? He was shocked, surprised. A butcher man, my companion in Jannah? Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala identified, showed to him that who that butcher man would be. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam decided to follow. Watch what this butcher man does. What is so unique about him that he's going to be my companion in Jannah? Musa alayhi salatu wasalam follows him. That butcher man takes permission, goes into his house. And Musa alayhi salatu was observant. He saw that as he entered the house, there was an old lady, weak and frail. This butcher man, after doing the hard work, labor, and to be a butcher, especially in those days, was a very difficult task. He enters the house. This old lady would be there. He would immediately hug her and kiss her on the forehead. Whole day he has worked. There's no food for him in the house. He goes himself, he cooks some food. He himself is hungry. And instead of him eating, then he would sit and he would take morsel by morsel, morsel by morsel, and put it into the mouth of the mother. And to feed old people sometimes is very, very challenging. When the mother would be completely satiated, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam then understood, when he heard a statement coming out from the mouth of that woman, of that mother, "Oh my son, you serve me. May Allah bless you to be the companion with the prophet of the time, Musa in Jannah." Dua of the mother, how important it is. Allah grant every one of us tawfiq and hidayah to understand this. Nowadays, when we hear the complaints that are coming, the turbulence that's taking place in the families, and the disobedience that is shown to a parent, the amount of pain it causes to a parent. One sahabi, he asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, "Hal baqiya li abawi shay ba'da mawtihima?" My parents have passed away. If they're alive, I can serve them. But they had passed away. Is there any way that I can serve them after they had passed away? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned four things. Sometimes, if we have fallen short in fulfilling the haqq of our parents, and indeed, even if we have done everything, we could not fulfill the haqq of them. So this hadith will apply to every one of us. That is there, what can you do to fulfill the haqq of the parents? Nabi Kareem has mentioned four things. First, as-salatu lahuma. Make dua for them. Make dua for them. They're gone. They're in the qabr. Allah knows where the ruh is. And may Allah grant our parents Jannatul Firdaus, wherever their soul is, may Allah put nur in the qabr, may Allah elevate their status. But make dua for them. Second, istighfar lahuma. Ask Allah to forgive them. They are human beings, they erred. They couldn't fulfill the haqq of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So ask Allah to forgive them. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, when a person is in a qabr, he's in a certain stage in Jannah. Allah has destined for him a certain stage in Jannah. In the qabr, Allah will show him his status has been elevated. So he will ask Allah, "Oh Allah, how much status got elevated?" So you left a son, you left a daughter, you left children. They made istighfar for you. And with the barakat of the istighfar, have elevated their status. The third right of the parents after they passed away, in faz ahdihima. If they have taken any undertaking from you, some promise from you, do this, do that, whatever it is, then you fulfill, you execute that promise. That is what the parents wanted you to do, so you do it. And the fourth haqq of the parents is that silatul rahm. Allati la tuwasil illa bihima. Maintain such family ties that cannot be fulfilled but through the right of the parent. In other words, immediate family people, you fulfill, you maintain ties with them, that is also the haqq of the parents. May Allah Tabarak grant us tawfiq and hidayat to understand the huquq, the rights of our parents, and may Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give us that realization. Very often, we don't understand the huquq and the rights of the parents. Then you get married, and then when you become a father, and then you become the mother, then your eyes open up. Then you realize that what it is to be a father, what it is to be a mother, and when you have your own children, and when your children deal with you, then you start, your brain opens up even more. And then you get to realize that, now understand what it is to be disobeyed. Now I understand what it is to be pained by my children. I caused pain to my parents. That time I never realized it. Probably I justified myself. Now, my parents, my children are causing pain to me. I understand the feelings and sentiments of my parents. Allah grant us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.